All right, let me jump into today's monologue, and let me just ask you right now, listen up, pay attention. I've got a note for you from the Commander-in-Chief. You ready? Soldiers, sailors, and airmen of the Allied Expeditionary Force, you're about to embark upon the great crusade towards which we have striven these many months. The eyes of the world are upon you. The hope and the prayers of liberty-loving people everywhere march with you. In company with our brave allies and brothers-in-arms on other fronts, you will bring about the destruction of the German war machine, the elimination of Nazi tyranny over the oppressed peoples of Europe, and security for ourselves in a free world. Your task will not be an easy one. Your enemy is well-trained, well-equipped, and battle-hardened. He will fight savagely. But this is the year 1944. Much has happened since the Nazi triumphs of 1940 and 41. The United Nations have inflicted upon the Germans great defeats in open battle, man-to-man. Our air offensive has seriously reduced their strength in the air and in their capacity to wage war on the ground. Our home fronts have given us an overwhelming superiority in weapons and munitions of war and placed at our disposal great reserves of trained fighting men. The tide has turned. The free men of the world are marching together to victory. I have full confidence in your courage, devotion to duty, and skill in battle. We will accept nothing less than full victory. Good luck, and let us beseech the blessings of Almighty God upon this great and noble undertaking. Now, you may wonder why I just read General Eisenhower's message to the Allied forces on the eve of D-Day. That was a tad over 80 years ago. Think about the alignment of the years. He talked about the year 1940. We lost the election in 2020. He talked about the year 1944. We're going to take it back in 2024, just a little over 80 years ago. An event, D-Day, was an event that shaped the world forever, when the forces of good took back stolen ground from the forces of evil. Wrongs were righted. That event established a generation of prosperity and restoration. Some call it the Day of Days, and I would agree with that. I read that to you because today is the Day of Days for American politics, and the stakes are high. This election will be one that shapes not just America, but the world. I believe that we have an opportunity to take back stolen ground, to right wrongs, to establish for the next generation a wave of prosperity and restoration. So yes, I'm referring to this election in dramatic fashion as a political Day of Days. The hopes and the prayers of liberty-loving people everywhere march with us. But the task has not been an easy one. Our political opposition has been well-trained, well-equipped, and battle-hardened, and they have fought savagely. So let me just pause now and remind you of the stakes. Let me tell you some things to remind you of where we've been. For conservatives, there's been nothing but questions and upheaval for the past 4 years. But I do believe America will survive. I do not believe that we're done. I do not believe that God has lifted his hand or that we're going to go fading away into the dark of night. But think about, though, where we have been of late. It goes back to the apocalyptic COVID pandemic, a time when people were herded and cajoled and quarantined. Schools were shut down. Churches were shuttered. Businesses were told to close. Government took over every aspect of our lives to include the means by which we could vote. Nothing about the 2020 election felt normal. Nothing. And in states like Alabama, there was at least a sense that normal was being sought. But in states like Pennsylvania, Georgia, Arizona, Nevada, normal felt like the old news. It was an inconvenience to Democrats who were gaming the systems and creating all new last-minute means for voting. Irregularities abounded. Trust in our systems faded. We were told that to question anything made us an election denier, which was second only to being a vaccine skeptic. So we questioned. We questioned and we worked. And then tempers flared and January 6th happened. Now listen, January 6th should never have occurred, but just like they did with COVID, though, the left pounced on it and made it the clarion call for more big government. We could not be trusted anymore. Due process for thousands went out the window as the FBI began knocking on the doors of anyone whose cell phone had pinged a tower within a mile of the Capitol building. Lives have been disrupted forever as jail sentences and strong-arm plea deals have been forced on people who were just merely present at the Capitol that day. If that singular event had been the only evidence of civil disobedience, we might have shaken our heads and even accepted a few things. But think about the environment in which it happened. It fell just immediately after all of the government shutdowns of 2020 and all the countless riots in which activists like BLM and Antifa had burned whole city blocks with impunity. Strange things occurred, like, you know, well-funded professional agitators who travel from city to city helping rioters to burn city blocks. Pallets of bricks would just show up on street corners just before the riots kicked off. Nobody was ever held to account. And yet January 6th was an insurrection where people's lives have been altered and they've been sent to jail without minimal due process. At the same time the BLM riots were occurring, Vice President Kamala Harris, who's now running for president, she extolled the ability to raise funds to bail out the rioters and put them right back on the streets. And despite their violence and damage to property, BLM had streets and plazas named after them, for crying out loud. Public officials actually knelt down in acquiescence to the rioters. Where was the congruity with the rioters of January 6th? At that point, we knew we were seeing the rise of the two-tiered system of justice from the left. So we questioned, and we worked. Not to be outdone, the leftist culture warriors went to work with a new sense of entitlement and empowerment. The sudden rise of acceptance for transgenderism is one example. It became a thing that common-sense Americans looked at and could not believe anyone would ever accept. And yet our newest Supreme Court Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson, she declined during her confirmation hearings to even define what a woman is. Men began competing in women's sports. They were allowed to have free rein to enter into women's bathrooms and locker rooms, but worse than that, the transgender ideology began pushing its way into our children's lives. Public schools began lying to parents and helping kids alter their appearance without telling mom and dad. Children have been emasculated, violated, and altered forever by surgeries and drugs that will irreversibly change them forever. All for an agenda that says that science is a lie and gender is fluid. So we questioned, and we worked. Our economy was also torpedoed as big government paid people more to stay home and be useless than what they could make by going to work and being productive. Whole sectors of the business community began to shut down. Work from home became a thing that went from occasional to just normal. American productivity was stymied while government cash flooded markets with false buying power, making demand rise while supply diminished. Inflation, as a result, hit a 40-year high. Buying diapers or bacon or clothes or just gas for your car all became more difficult. Either you couldn't find it, or when you did, you couldn't afford it. Interest rates tanked the housing market as the Fed tried to calm inflation. Housing starts plummeted as building materials went through the roof. So we questioned, and we worked. And then came the time to right the wrongs. A top-tier list of Republican candidates rose to the challenge for a fractious primary, and Donald Trump was freely elected to be the top of the GOP ticket. But the left, they can't abide by people who are willing to question and work. So we saw the onset of lawfare. As one man, our choice for the ticket, as one man was vilified, sued, arrested, raided, paraded, and hauled into court after one time after another in a coordinated effort to use both civil and criminal state and federal laws to attack him. And then came the legal attacks on his actual candidacy, as multiple states tried to remove him from their ballots and make sure he could not be voted for. And when the court system couldn't keep him down with lawfare, they tried to kill him. Twice. Let's not forget, he actually bled on the campaign stage and another innocent man died. But look, I don't tell you all of this to make you depressed. I tell you to make you mad, to make you bold, to make you question and to make you work. Because we have been through the ringer in the last 4 years, and I didn't even scratch the surface of what the left-wing progressive whole-of-government effort has done to sacrifice our nation on the altar of their awful ideologies. But today, today's our day of days. Today we make some things right. Today we take all the questions and all the work and we turn them into votes. And oh, we're going to watch the polling sites and the ballot counting like hawks, because the stakes are too high, and the cause is great. And this is, by God, our day of days to reclaim our nation. And that's a wrap for The Right Side Way.